Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
No, but the point about this is that if you're going to build, if you're going to,
where do we stop? Where do we stop selling everything off?
No, I agree with that. Like this is, but this is the thing. Like, I don't think they should be ring fencing it in terms of saying you can't sell the naming rights, you can't do this. What they should be saying is this is, and this comes back to the point when we talk about the tribal element of Irish sport, which makes it certain sports seem less culturally. Correct than others. That
yeah, but there's nothing like the GA. You're that's wrong about
no,
what
no,
you're saying.
That's, no,
there's
that's
nothing
not,
like the
there's
GA.
There's nothing like the GA at a local level, and I agree with you with that, about that.
No, countrywide. It is the cement. It is the glue of our society.
When you build
without
these,
it, we'd just be running around in Man United jerseys and Chelsea jerseys.
That's fine. That's fine too.
The starting point. I mean, the GA has also been the springboard for Conrad and Gaeilge.
Here's some shocking news for you. The people who go to who are the lifeblood of GAA clubs every weekend and every week are also going around. Their kids are also going around. Those kids who go down there are also going around in Liverpool jerseys and Manchester United.
It's not.
I know them. I see them everywhere.
You don't mix in GAA.
I see them everywhere.
You don't.
People.
I was out in that posh place you live in again. Out in.
You're out in Dalkey.
All wearing
cooler jerseys.
No soccer jerseys.
They'll be wearing soccer jerseys too.
No, you're
they
just,
will. Yeah. Because there isn't, among most people, there is no
you,
barrier.
You can walk around the Glen community, the Dungiven community, you'll not see a single person wearing a soccer jersey.
Okay, well, that's great.
You'll see them wearing their club jerseys. But there's no nail all around.
But most people don't. I remember when like Ireland qualified.
That's too precious.
When Ireland qualified for the European Championships and you in the World Cup in like 1990, and you know you had this sense from the GAA top brass of this kind of resentment at what, you know, how are we going to deal with this, and seeing soccer as a threat. Most people at all levels of all these sports now follow them all.
That was the older generation.
Yeah, I know. That's gone. And people are absorbed by all of them. And what I'm saying is, when you actually develop something like Páirc Uí Chaoimh, either you leave it as it is, or you say, this is for all sports. This is now something for all sports. It's not something that you just give to the GAA. And then the government say, here's your 30 million and use it for everything. We don't need so many stadiums. We don't need the amount of stadiums we have around the country.
That's a separate point. You know, I'm on the point that, you know, we are at a very dangerous stage of our development in the GAA. You know, we are, you know, we have done enormous work at grassroots level. A lot of that's been taken for granted. You know, we have moved to do deals with Sky Television, things like that. You know, and increasingly the feeling, particularly when you're outside your own club environment, is that we are becoming consumers. You know, and, you know, we're ripe and have been ripe for the sort of corporate takeover that's taken place that's making us very bland. Once the corporations take over, then they work against social activism, political activism, you know, and they start to sort of permeate every part of your society, as we've seen in America. So it becomes very, very easy then, you know, to silence dissent. Sports stars are afraid to speak out in America because they'll lose that lucrative sponsorship deal. You know, everybody, for example, at the moment is going along with the Israeli line in America because the corporations are backing that line. You know, I mean, and I note with some dismay that, to my knowledge, the only two teams, the only two sort of GAA communities or teams that have come out very publicly against the genocide is Dungiven Club and the Dublin Ladies, you know, who made a very powerful statement before their game against Kerry. You know, we need to, at this time in the GAA, we need to be strengthening our defences, amateurism, you know, and we should be now talking about creating a fit-for-purpose amateur association, social community ethos backed by strong, strong rules, you know. And what we need to do, first and foremost, is to deal with the commercial world on our terms through the prism of our ideals, you know. And instead, what we've done over the last 20 years, particularly, is we hoped for the best, and the commercial world is sweeping over us now, you know. And it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before Coca-Cola come in to look for the naming rights for Croke Park. Say, well, you know, it's £1 million a year. What are we going to do? You know, what would you call it? Coke Park? Probably.
Good. Probably you're good at this.
Maybe misinterpreted. Coke Park.
Could be Coke, yeah.
Coke Park. Especially, you know, by young people nowadays who can't afford drink anymore. But they can.
I don't think they can afford to powder their noses.
But, I mean, Paul Rouse, another professor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who made him a professor?
Paul's a great guy.
I know he's a great guy. Anyway, but he's from Offaly.
Exactly.
You know, to be fair. But he said to me, oh, not that long ago, he said, you know, we'll never undo the damage of the last sort of 10, 20 years. You know, because he sees, you know, and he's a very, very clever fella, in spite of the fact that he's from Offaly. He's a very, very clever fella.
He's a direct attack on me.
Brackets, in spite of the fact that he's from Offaly, close brackets. And he can see these, you know. And, like, we've got this, through the GAA now, apart from the players themselves, we've got a phalanx of these new age professionals who are feasting on the association. You know, the players have to think in a certain way, speak in a certain way. They all have to be like Johnny Sexton or Johnny Wilkinson, you know. Johnny Super Value Sexton, isn't Johnny?
He's Centra, I think.
He's Centra. Mm-hmm. He'd be a good man to launch the Centras of Excellence, wouldn't he? Johnny, he's very expressive. He's a natural behind the camera. But when I have, as you know, strongly criticised all these life gurus and sports psychologists. You know,
I miss that.
I think they're dangerous. They're useless. They cause unhealthy levels of worry and self-obsession. You know, one of the gurus, Breed Currid, she just went straight for the moral outrage card. And she did an interview with the Irish Times where she said that although neither she nor her colleagues were experts in suicide, if Joe Brawley knew the number of young men whose lives have been saved because of our work with GAA clubs, he wouldn't criticise us.
Oh, yeah?
You know what I mean? What can you say about that? Killer, you're killing our children. Brawley, you're killing our children.
I haven't seen this
and
interview.
And our players now are all wearing the movement trackers and the vests that transmit data to the coach.
But see, I think you're shoving a whole lot of things into one thing there.
No, but they're all part of the corporate takeover of the GAA, because this is how they work. And then one day you wake up and you're like the NBA, you're like American sport, you know, you're like American universities, where the sponsorship deals are everywhere.
Well, is the GAA...
And the GAA is supposed to be a bulwark.
But is the GAA not... Wasn't the split season one of those moments where the GAA did something that no other sporting organisation would have done? They actually said, every other sporting body is trying to find ways of flogging their players as much as they can, play them 12 months a year, just keep them going, increase revenue, find new revenue streams.
But a lot of it was around the expense of county teams.
You had
some county teams spending over €1 million a year on preparation.
Well, the Cork inter-county teams, this is the thing, and I don't know what you do, like when you talk idealistically about it, I don't know what you're going to do about the actual reality of it in Cork at the moment, because they at their annual convention in December, they said the cost of preparing inter-county teams over the past year was almost €2 million.
They've been wasting some money. To solar on about the place with their heads down.
This is my friend who wanted you to go easy on Cork. Isn't going to like this. The debt on Páirc Uí Chaoimh is €31 million. It lost over €2 million last year. And there's a €20 million bank loan on the stadium. All these things are realities that somebody has to they're in a position where I don't know what they're supposed to do except not actually build this white elephant in the first place.
Well, that was the first thing.
The other thing I only realized last week is Páirc Uí Chaoimh was only opened in 1976.
You've got a good big provincial stadium in Munster. A 50,000 capacity. Now, in theory, working there with concerts and all those sorts of things, they should be making a profit there. But careless decisions have been made. Too much money has been spent. Imagine also this it was bad timing with COVID, et cetera, et cetera, where they would have lost a lot of money that would have been very... very important to keep.
Just worth repeating that I've been to more inter-county matches at Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Have you ever been to Markovitz Park?
No.
Countess Markovitz. You know that they're the Sligo border and negotiations with Marks and Spencer's.
Oh yeah.
Marks and Spencer's Park.
Good one. That's three.
It was originally
three deals done here today.
There we go. It was originally named after Countess Markovitz, who fought in the Easter Rising.
Yeah.
And was the first woman, did you know this? She was the first woman ever elected as an MP to the United Kingdom House of Commons. And staunch, decent, Republican woman that she was, she refused to take her seat. And she was also a founding member of Fianna Fáil. Nobody's perfect. And a Sligo board member said this week, welcoming the new Marks and Spencer's deal, no one really remembers Countess Markovitz anyway. Sure, young people nowadays don't even know the difference between the good IRA and the bad IRA. Hyde Park, that's they're to be sponsored by the Indian online shopping giant. So they're going to become Hyderabad Park. After a deal described by Roscommon officials as too good to resist. Do you know who Douglas Hyde was?
I do, yeah.
He was perhaps the most powerful force behind the revival of the, quote, almost extinct Irish language at the time. He was the founder, first president of Conradh na Gaeilge, and became the first president of the GAA. And in his landmark work, and this is one of the reasons that I love him, in his landmark work, The Necessity for De-Anglicising the Irish Nation. Mm. And, that could be translated nowadays as the necessity for deconsumerising the Irish nation. He argued passionately that Irish people must reject English culture.
That didn't really work, though. He didn't really...
We have a very, very flourishing Irish language, all those things now. And in future, he said, follow our own traditions in language, literature and dress. And as the Roscommon chairman put it this week, but he had nothing against the Indians. So, there's nothing wrong with doing
that. But he also said, in 1892, Douglas Hyde said that Ireland continues to apparently hate the English and at the same time continues to imitate them. and you could actually say that today. So, like, well, you know, I think that goes to show as well.
I think we're very strongly parting ways from English culture and the English. I think that English. I think England is becoming a very diseased place now. Their politics.
The politics is
their lies. The way they talk about the Israel-Gaza situation. The individualism of British society. The extreme poverty.
I've spent a lot more time in England.
The extreme poverty that's being experienced there now. That's way off the charts.
It's a basket case in so many ways.
26,000 food banks now.
It's a basket case in so many ways. It really is.
What culture of theirs do we imitate now?
No, we follow so many aspects of English culture.
Soccer stuff because it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. We have very
television
programs. We have good local soccer clubs, all those sorts of things. Well, the reason that we follow a lot of their TV programs is because, you know, primarily RT is not doing its job. We get a Dermot Bannon program about him putting on an extension in the kitchen with a big window without planning permission.
Was there no planning permission?
I have to say that, you know, I'm surprised that you've not even raised, you know, the very, very, very great trauma that's, you know, and I know you've been deliberately avoiding this. I know you don't like talking about it. The very, very, very great trauma that everyone, particularly in the North and in the United Kingdom, etc., are feeling at the moment. The announcement that both King Charles, our King, and Princess Catherine have been admitted to hospital.
Yeah.
Which, and I have to say, it was one of the big talking points in the lead up to the All-Ireland Club final yesterday.
I got a message from you saying that they're wondering not if Throne was going to be delayed because of the storm, but because there was so much concern sweeping the stands, like a Mexican wave of concern.
Yeah, well, it's a very, very traumatic time for everyone in the North. And to be honest, as Malik O'Rourke told the Irish News on Thursday, he said, look, it's the last thing the boys need going into the most important game of their lives. but I know you're laughing at me, but you know,
laughing near you.
Particularly whenever I heard, Shane Coleman's, you know, passionate and, I suppose, you know, heartrending appeal that, in the event of a united Ireland, Ireland should immediately rejoin the Commonwealth, Her Majesty's Commonwealth, and again be part of that terribly exclusive and what would the way be to put it? You know, be sheltered again by the magnificence of His Majesty the King and his family. As I don't know if you read the Daily Mail on Thursday, but they announced the hammer blow to the nation as double blow of King Charles and our future Queen Catherine's medical treatment leaves the nation reeling.
Yeah.
It sends a shiver down all our spines.
Yeah.
And then in the inside page is Liz Jones. I think spoke for all of us. I think she spoke for all of us when she wrote, "This feels personal, like a young member of my family. I was walking my dogs and I saw a young woman stop, stare at her phone, her mittens shut to her mouth. I asked her, 'Are you okay?' And she said, 'It's Kate, she's in hospital.' Everyone in earshot rummaged in pockets to find phones. We just stopped and stared. The news that she has been admitted to hospital, possibly for 2 whole weeks, sent shivers down my spine. And Catherine, she will be so crossed with herself that she's making us all so worried." And if Liz Jones in the Mail was that worried, you can just imagine the sick feeling in the stomachs of those young Glenn, Watty Graham's players. You know, and I do know now that Malik O'Rourke met with the team and club officials on Thursday night, and after a very, very, very long meeting, the club reluctantly decided not to ask the GAA for a postponement of the game. You know, and people wonder why Glenn panicked for long stretches of the game yesterday. You know,
played with sort of lead in their legs will wonder no more. I think I speak for both of us, Dion. And in fact, let me say that again. I think I speak for the entire Irish nation when I wish His Majesty the King and Princess Kate a speedy recovery from their minor medical procedures. God save the King. I said that. No, I can't actually say that.
You have said it now.
There used to be a.
We're recording
there used
on Monday.
There used to be a tip staff. I can tell you this, but there used to be a tip staff who came into court in the Norris, you know, in those days before the Good Friday Agreement. It was all the trappings of the empire, you know, and the flag and all the rest of it. You know, he used to come in, he would say, the tip staff would come in when the judge was going in and say, "All rise, God save the Queen."
Right.
I used to love it. I always chuckled every time. All.
When Harry and Meghan's interview with Oprah Winfrey was broadcast, it was the most watched. When it was brought, it was 725,000 people in Ireland watched it on RT. It was the most watched program at that point. That up to the whenever that was broadcast.
But if you want to have a serious discussion about things like homelessness or anything like that, no one will watch and no one will listen. Mm. You know, because it's a deadly trap to fall into, the consumerist trap. You know, and eventually, I mean, and I'm certain that I became far too edgy. For RTE, for example, just far too edgy. You know, can't be criticising that, can't be criticising this deal, can't be talking about the grander themes. Just talk about football, would you, for fuck's sake, and stop it. Talk about football, the text coming into, you know. We're just going to analyse the game, you know. Yeah, well, he hand passed it to him, and, you know, they had 24 hand passes, you know. But forget about the grander themes, because we've got a fucking deal to be doing with the GA hierarchy for TV rights. And the last thing we want is you lambasting them for the commercial direction that the association is taking, you know. And it was a very effective way of sending the message out, talk about the fucking game, do not rock the boat, you know. Don't express yourself honestly, stay within those sterile boundaries. And what do we have? Everybody sounds the same, they all look the same. You know, and this homogeneity that is the perfect, leaves you the perfect target for the marketplace, you know, and things that are really important to us, you know, our integrity, our ability to express ourselves, the fun that we have around the games, the magic of the games, all those things. But the bigger picture, which is always and far more important than games, is the health of our community. And you know, how should our community approach, you know, the next 100 years? How do we protect ourselves from the ravages of the market, from the commercial world? You know, how do we copper fasten the amateur ideal? You know, I mean, we're now in a situation where the managers are paid, the backroom teams are paid, most of the officials are paid nowadays. You know, we're paying huge amounts of money to the market for products that teams mostly don't need and won't make them any better anyway. You know, and we're left now with what Donal O'Cusack, who's been one of the main culprits, one of the main drivers, or certainly he's helped the commercial world greatly, you know, to encroach on the GA and invade the GA, you know. And I mean, if you look at Donal O'Cusack's feed, it's always about, you know, had a brilliant day with you know, wonderful day with I take that back a bit. One of our favourite companies. One of our favourite companies. but we've got, you know, Donal Logue describing what we have now as, and this is the bullshit of the market as well. You know, wonderful evening, you know, with all that shit, you know. Swiss Air, great, you know, great to see, you know, the CEO of, you know, fuck, who gives a fuck, you know. He calls it now, the GA, he describes it as enhanced amateurism. That's what he calls it, enhanced amateurism. You know? And, you know, there's no point in us continuing to simply say, well, look, you know, we need to pay for that. So, look, if we have to swallow our principles and, you know, what's the big deal anymore? You know, there's no big deal anymore. We sell it off and, you know, we listen. And that's why the Parky Keefe thing is very, very important. You know?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
And to call it Super Value Park, like, Jesus Christ.
But what's it going to become then? If you don't, if it's going to become a ghost stadium, somebody's going to have to pay for it. Somebody's going to have to find some way of bailing out
Cork GA was out of control. But Cork GA basically had an autocrat who was doing what he wanted to do, you know, and the central GA, I think, feared Cork GA and ought to have been keeping strict control over all of this. I mean, it was just allowed to get completely out of control.
But it's now going to be a situation where you will have this great stadium in memory of a fantastic Irish patriot, but it'll be there'll be padlocks on it. It'll be owned by whoever their loans are with. It'll be the grass will grow high. Nobody will go into it. It'll be, and then you said, there's Parky Queeve. Or is the alternative somehow you actually have to find some accommodation to save it now and to do something?
Well, I mean,
you know, that's the thing.
I'm talking about the principle and how
the principle is great.
How things need to develop and how things need to be protected. You know, and far too often it's like, it's after the event, then, they've run into serious trouble now. This has been allowed to get out of control. Right, so we'll take the easy option. Okay, we'll let the market buy into us. You know, and whatever their conditions are around that, well, we'll just have to adjust to those.
Mm.
You know, and then, you know, increasingly, nobody can be offensive or dispute or be critical of any of these things. And I made the point a few weeks ago: there is no one more pathetic than Ireland's GAA journalists, Ireland's sports journalists in general. You know, if you took Paul Kimmage out of it,
oh, that's not fair.
Sorry, if you took Paul Kimmage out of it, right, who has been searing and honest and prepared to sacrifice himself, I mean, the John the Baptist truly of journalism, and that's what great journalists are supposed to be. They're supposed to be investigators. They're supposed to let
There are a lot of very good Irish journalists.
They don't massage. The GA journalists are pathetic. They've not done any investigations in the last 20 years about professionalism. They've not criticised anybody. You know, it's always safe, 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 safe. You know, and you turn, if you want to get sugar now, you turn on RTE and you get the sugar. You know, pick up any of our sports papers, you'll just get the sugar. You know, they all sound the same, they all look the same. Nothing makes you prick your ears up and go, Jesus, that's interesting.
That's a really interesting investigation. That's a proper investigative journalism
job. I
know,
I've read some great, Malachy Clerkin has written some great pieces
about
just over the last year, lots of stuff. He wrote a very good piece about
the
GAA's relationship with the banks at one point. He wrote a very good piece.
I like Malachy, I will say that.
But
you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're saying.
It's just a torrent of sugary...
But I think that's the nature.
Trivia.
That is the nature, and that is the problem with a lot of the media structure right now, because they still have we may one day talk about RTE again, because a lot of these things come back to this, you know, problems that legacy media have. And one of the problems they have, in a very boring way to do with sport, is that they still have to they have to go along, and they're told, go along and interview this person who's been put forward at a round table. It's very boring stuff. But they sit down and they have to, you know, they have to publish these quotes, no matter how boring they are. Nobody ever says to them, you know,
it was like Paul Hart's story about
about, like, you know, and you've got to write
that's
two
a
like,
story for another day.
You've got to write two
just when it came to the Anderson bit, but that's a story for another day.
You've got to write 2,000 words on this, and nobody said. And actually, I remember with that one, the one myself and Paul did together, and I was at the Sunday Independent at the time, and we just said, we're just going to do 600 words. We're not going to bother. Because, you know,
if it hadn't been for Kimmage particularly, sticking his neck out, eventually walking away from one of the most lucrative deals that any sports journalist had with the English Times, you know, Lance Armstrong and all those guys would still be doing what they were doing. You know, they would have all got away with it.
No, I wasn't.
You can't rock the boat. You can't, I mean, a classic example of that was Naomi Klein's really interesting book, No Logo, which talks about how, and I would advise our listeners to get a copy of it, because it's a really good analysis of how the corporate world has bought over the world of sport, you know, and way, way, way beyond sport. And, you know, there's some very, very interesting chapters, in particular about Nike and how they have actually become sport. I mean, they have, you know, you've got your Nike Centres of Excellence now.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, they have absolutely infiltrated it and infiltrated the ideals of it for their own ends. And during the 1998 Winter Olympics, the CBS investigative journalist Roberta Baskin, she was disgusted to see all of the CBS sports department who were reporting on the games wearing jackets adorned with the Nike logo, just like, you know, the RTE panel in Super Value Park will be wearing the Super Value uniforms, you know, and wee Marty Morrissey sitting at a wee mock checkout counter. And
unexpected item in the bagging area.
But they had given news and sports reporters their swooshed gear, and Nike said it's great because, you know, it helps us build awareness about our lifestyle. And Baskin was very, very upset about this, as you would be if you were a proper journalist, you know. And she just thought, like, it's absolutely horrifying. She had broken the news story about physical abuse of workers at the Nike shoe factory in Vietnam, you know, where they were being beaten and kept sleepless and churning out these, you know, sneakers that they were then being sold for $150, you know, to poverty-stricken kids in the ghettos all around America, you know, on the false dream that someday they too could be Michael Jordan. And she accused CBS of muzzling her, refusing to allow her to pursue the story, and of yanking the original story altogether because of their sponsorship deal with Nike. Now, CBS said, oh, well, look, you know, that's just preposterous, you know. Sound, you know, a bit like Brent, like Netanyahu saying, oh, it's preposterous to say that we're bombing women and children. It's absolute, that's pro Hamas propaganda. Like people like Dion Fanning. And
what are you saying?
But she took a real fierce stand on it, Baskin. And she was vocal about it. And interestingly, instead of sacking her, which I think would happen nowadays, the CBS took the Nike jackets off the news reporters halfway through the Olympic Games. But the sports department now kept theirs on. And, you know, increasingly, and I invite also our listeners to watch some NBA, watch any American sports coverage now, and you'll see how overwhelmed all of that has become by the advertisers. I mean, they are all just brands now. Shaquille O'Neal, all they're just brands. They just talk about their brands. They talk about their favorite golf clubs. There's product placement all over the place, you know. And there's no separation now out into my life, my precious personal life, you know, the things that I love and look forward to, the release that I feel. You know, I can tell you, I am a Dungiven man to the core, and Kevin Lynch's and St. Canis's. My father was the club chairman, and my grandfather was one of the founders, grandfather Joe Brawley. And, you know, I have a tremendous affinity to the GA community. And, you know, Fergal McCusker, one of my favourite people in the world, my old teammate from the Derry team, and his father and mother, who were watching the game yesterday, both, I think Colum's in his 90s. And I am still buzzing from that yesterday. You know, I was there with my youngest son, John Costlow, the Dublin chairman, had got us two tickets, beautiful tickets. We were right in front of the president and the you know, resplendent in his army uniform. You know, the very, very senior army officer who travels everywhere with President Higgins. I got a tap on the shoulder, honestly, and I nearly rolled over to let him tickle my belly. He says, the boss would like a word with you. I was like, oh my God, nice Neil, come on. So he brought us over, chat with the president. I adore Michael D, you know, a man of integrity. And a terrific man and terrific spirit. And so, you know, we had that. And Dean Rock came over and got a photograph for Arnell, you know. I mean, imagine David Beckham, like, you know. I mean, David Beckham couldn't lace Dean Rock's boots. I mean, well, Dean Rock's got 8 All-Ireland medals.
He probably
could. Oh, wise up. Jesus Christ. David Beckham's an embarrassment. He's just a brand. But Dean Rock is one of ours. You know, he's one of ours. That's connection. Important. Eddie Kerr. Let me finish. Eddie Kerr, 81 years of age. Many people believe the greatest hurler that ever lived. Never wore a helmet. You know, the iconic photos of him from the All-Ireland final with the huge gash on his temple and the blood running down into his eyes and him turning so stylishly to put another one over the bar. He was there yesterday. You know, so good. Great chat with Eddie. And his daughter, Deirdre, was with him, you know, because he's 81 now, playing golf twice a week. He's invited me down to Inishtig. I cannot wait to go down, imagine. And my son, Niall, being introduced to this man, who, when I was a child, stayed in our house in Dungiven. He came up as part of a big Kilkenny contingent to help Hurling Bed Inn in Dungiven. No money changing hands. You know, the great virtues of friendship and volunteerism and asking not what you can do for me, but what can I do for you? And that is the priceless thing that's at stake here. And, you know, Cork should be finding another solution. I appreciate they've got themselves into this mess, but not Super Value Park. Jesus Christ Almighty.
Well, maybe it'll just be a monument, yeah, to
Mickey Hart going around getting photographs with Derry supporters the other day after the McKenna Cup match. Jesus Christ. Derry Derry families down jipping in a week getting photographs.
Can we go a week, Brolly, without you bringing up Mickey Hart? Can we go a fucking week? Just let it go. Just let him be.
I promised the glamorous brunette that I would not call Mickey Hart a cunt.
You know, you brought me a, and you've done it again. Thanks for listening, everybody. I did. Somebody did. Sure, I heard it. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll be back very soon with another Free State brought to you by our our partners, our commercial partners.
Our partners in the pharmaceutical industry. And PepsiCo.
And PepsiCo.
And Giant Watsits.
Yeah, and actually genuinely Free State, Ariba.
Free State, the home of the Giant Watsit, the Watsilla.
Perfect.
That's right. Yeah. Size matters, not just in the bedroom.
Very good. Thanks for listening.
I was dreaming last night of old Ireland, a place where I once had a home. Not in Dublin, Killarney or Derry, but a village
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.